welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And I need to emphasize again, because it seems like one of the things that really does start getting through to people is that debt is fraud. As they're getting ready to basically come and seize America financially, because, oh, well, you've lived the life of O'Reilly, and now that you have, you know, ran this course of riotous living, well, it's time to pay the debt. Well, I'm telling you, folks, we don't owe that debt. They had no authority, and they still have no authority. They've never amended the Constitution to do any of these things. I mean, it is it is so bad that this is why I have no hesitation in letting you know that over 90% of what they're spending, the only thing that they have the authority to spend on is the military, national defense, and so forth. They don't have the authority to give arms to foreign nations so that they can play around. That was never considered as a fundamental function of playing this quid pro quo amongst the corruption of world and global governing politics. So, you know, when you're about fed up and you say, you know what, before they actually come and seize everything, we need to basically, because the whole world is coming down upon America, and they're all rubbing their grubby mitts and they're going, we're finally going to destroy these people who've had liberty all this time. They still look at America with with lust and desire to destroy us and our lifestyle, this arrogant, ugly American that we just, and as a matter of fact, I've said this before, the average American person does not personify that. We look down upon those types of things. So how is it that we're in this situation? Well, we're in this situation because they're getting away with murder. They're killing our government. They're killing our people. They're killing our states. I can go on and on. They're waging warfare. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to go on and on because I'm going to dive into a story today that I heard over a... And this really... I hate to pick, because I don't think some... I know that there's conservative entertainers that are looking to try to grow their market. They're trying to make money and, you know, send money, that type of stuff. And, you know, I understand that that's what they think they're doing, but they're doing it because they think that this is a noble cause in entertaining you. They don't understand that they could actually be a part of the solution. Now, I've had a few conversations. This is one of the things I wanted to talk about on Friday. Had a lot of conversations where people have, you know, poked me in the eye and challenged me. Hey, not everybody is that bad. I think that, you know, David Barton is a good guy. You ought to give him a chance. Because I broad brush everybody. Because I have reached out to enough people to where I have become jaded. So when I speak to people and I say, they're all bad, prove me wrong. And as a matter of fact, I'll be the first one to admit, I would love to be wrong. I would love to see David Barton completely change his position. I would love to see any of the conservative entertainers actually start working and actually start enjoying and sharing the truth out of the ratification debates and out of these source documents so that everybody really understands where the power lies, what this Constitution is. I mean, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And so on Friday, I didn't have time because we had this emphasis, and I do have this emphasis, in bringing to you candidates who are running, regardless of where they are, whether it's in Wyoming, you know, Podunk, Idaho, or whether it's the Manhattan, New York. It does not matter. It could be Inglewood, California. That's kind of in the heart of L.A. And so, or maybe kind of in the heart of it. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they're from. If we can find champions of the Constitution, people who are willing to be to serve the role of Jonah, to get out there and campaign to say, you need to elect me because we're going to be destroyed. And while we still have time, we have to start using the Constitution. And it is very similar to what Lot did, very similar to going out and basically trying to find good people to actually take a stand. I don't believe that we're living in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. I do believe that there are lots of good people. Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. So I'm actually going to say this. I believe that the majority of the people in America are reasonable. The majority. So why is it we're not working together? Why is it we're not uniting? Even with the blue-collar Democrat, there are Democrats that I believe are reasonable. It's just that we've been so steeped in becoming binary over these very specific issues like the party. You can't tell me that we do not have a party form of government. And there's some things that I want to bring up, like the RNC, the protests against the RNC, those types of things that are coming. But I have a story to tell you that is far more important. So one of the things that I've, on a personal note, I wanted to dive into, because it's just like, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. You know that old saying? Or the good old days, they ain't coming back. Now, I think we live in an awesome time of technology. I think we live in a time where we could really be very productive people. As a matter of fact, as I speak to politicians, as I speak to grassroots activists, leaders, and so forth, I try to imbue within them that we need government to actually have a symbiotic relationship with us, not a destructive, controlling, and regulating relationship. I can't fathom, as a matter of fact, in talking to a sovereign citizen organization, actually a leader, and actually not really a sovereign citizen leader, somebody that actually understands the court and is doing something different. And as I'm getting my arms around that, I'm going, okay, so this is different. This is a completely different vein, but still it is doing something that is not going to solve the problem. It may protect you, but I still don't see it solving the problem. But that being said, in having this conversation, we talked about the highways. We talked about driver's licenses, roadways, and so forth. And I said, you know, technically, government has a responsibility to help us move as fast as possible and be as productive. Because the more productive we are, the more growth our economy has. As a matter of fact, fathom this, folks. Why are we paying per kilowatt or per whatever drink of energy, whether it's gasoline, what have you? Why is it the government hasn't brought to either a subscription form of energy? Because when you think about it, energy equals productivity, just like almost like food. Government should be trying to, instead of taking whatever disposable income you have and spending it on energy, because a lot of people spend a lot of money on energy. And there are people that literally it competes for their disposable income when it comes to heating and cooling their house, because their energy bills are through the roof two times a year, especially when you live in the far north, when it gets really cold and it can get really hot. And don't think that it doesn't get really hot in Montana. It's been almost 120 degrees. I believe its highest temperature was 120. That being said, the point is, I can't understand why government has become direct, has taken a hostile approach towards its serving its people. why is it doing this? And this is literally because our federal government has created that tone because they've assumed powers that they should never have had. They've come down into your states and they have actually created such hostile regulations, such hostile laws, and they've assumed such hostile powers. They have been getting away with waging warfare against us. But as I think about it, you know, I was actually thinking this weekend, the Olympics are coming up. And boy, I remember how the Olympics, as we looked forward to that, and the whole world focused on what the heck was happening in the Olympics. Who cares anymore? I don't care. As a matter of fact, it just seems like a place where the woke people or the people that are completely dumb with what's going on are just immersed in them, in their own self and their own individual performances. World records may be a challenge, it may be achieved, and people are challenging, you know, the unfathomable. But I'm here to tell you, who cares? We are at the brink of losing our liberty. You know, gone are those days when you used to be able, I remember as a kid, I used to be able to sign up with Columbia House and get really good quality music on good quality medium. You know, you can't beat vinyl. And boy, those were the best days. Yeah, vinyl was a consumable, but it's the sound. Still to this day, as we look at technology, vinyl has not gone away. It is still a standard in audio production. And I'm going, okay, you know, we have created things that we just can't just put aside. People started to realize that maybe technology didn't really fill that void, or it never has gotten to a point where it has overcome that quality. And so we're getting there, but we're not getting there as fast. But I'm just saying, we live in a great time. However, we're living in a time with all of this technology where government is using it and artificial intelligence as they get more and more power from artificial intelligence to rule us. I mean, there are movies, and okay, we may not see Terminator, but what we will see will shock you. It's coming. Do not think that the terms "the great and dreadful days of the Lord" really don't mean that, you know, it's not that bad. You know, it could be worse. There's going to be nothing worse. And so this is why this is so important, bringing to you these candidates and having these conversations, teaching you what the framers actually said so you understand what we have. You, if you've been listening to the show, if you've been listening and soaking up the content, when Paul and I are reading the ratification of Basin, and we may dive into dialogue here and there, focus on the content. You know, we may actually wander where I may say something that you disagree with. Who cares? Focus on the content, because the content, the truth, and understanding our government and what it takes, because they gave us the recipe. Nobody wants you to know that interposition is the process. The word interpose was actually used in the ratification debates, and it was used as the solution of dealing with out-of-control government. That's exactly what happened with the revolution. But we don't have to interpose with arms. We can interpose with the law. And that's exactly how it was framed in the ratification debates. So the other thing I want to say is, I know I mentioned I'm going to interview New Hampshire Representative Leah Cushman. Have not had the opportunity yet, but I'm really looking forward to this, because there's some things I really want to bring up with her, like the oath process. Did she actually take an oath to the Constitution that the framers gave us, or was it to the annotated corporation or what have you? Did she have to take a bond? Give us some insights as to whether our government is actually, you know, being controlled, are going through this facade to think that they're controlled and that they have to function a certain way. Because bottom line, folks, if you actually start electing champions of the Constitution, they can say, no, I don't care what that statute says. There's no amendment to the Constitution that says I am not to take an oath to support that Constitution. Therefore, I must take an oath to support this very specific Constitution, not that piece of crap you're putting down my throat. Anyway, there's a story that just popped up, and this, I really wanted to rush to, so because I got to read through this article. You need to understand that what I've been telling you, that your government has been fighting and conducting warfare against you, you need to understand that they're doing this in so many different ways, and they're attacking us in so many different ways, so effectively, that they're able to create what I would, it's almost like psyops, but it's more than just psyops, because psyops is just to confuse you. We are literally being bombarded with heavy metals through the chemtrails. They're literally attacking us, taking our property with geoengineering, the Agenda 21. I mean, they have these plans, or actually whatever, the Agenda 2030 plan, whatever, right? As they keep on morphing and changing it, it doesn't matter. We're under attack. We're under attack, folks. So what we need to do is, and what I want to do is I want to give you a way of how they're attacking us, because we kind of know that they've been doing this with the illegals. They've been doing this with refugees. And I'm going to tell you what a story just recently broke, because this is a recent bombardment, a bombardment of refugees, because, and I heard this, again, this goes back to the conservative entertainer who didn't understand what was going on and couldn't speak out against this. So I'm going to try to read through this as much as I can. But this is from the Springfield News Sun out of Springfield, Ohio. And this is the article, and I'm just going to read it to you. And I want to get through this so that we can then talk in context to what the heck's going on and why are these people just completely confused, and they're doing investigations instead of attacking this evil, interposing, because they don't understand. This is why it's so important in educating and nurturing champions of the Constitution, so that they can actually get engaged and so that they can actually go out and attack this onslaught that we're facing. Okay, so here's the article. Springfield officials were in the dark about the possibility of a large immigrant relocation to the area. Major Rob Rue said that the recent Springfield City Commission meeting, but a, quote, network of businesses knew what was coming, close quote. Investigation of the city's immigrant accountability response team, formed in October 2023, has revealed the possibility, quote, there were companies that knew they were going to make an effort to bring in individuals who were crossing the border based on federal regulations that they could do that, close quote, Rue said. Rue also said, quote, I'm upset at the fact that we didn't get a chance to have an infrastructure in place if there were going to be 20,000 more people from 2020 to 2025. We didn't get to do that. Quote, Springfield is now saturated, quote, close quote, Rue said, during the meeting when talk turned to Haitian immigration. Asked by a city resident how many more immigrants might be coming to the area and about city interactions, quote, the people who have planned this, Rue responded, we're not interacting with them, we're investigating. Rue later added the city investigations are ongoing, but he indicated a report will be forthcoming once they are assured that they can do without compromising any potential legal action. Remember I told you about these different forms of government. How is it that we have a judiciary form of government? How is it that the judiciary has their hands around our neck? Forgive me. Let me focus on the article and I'll get into this more. Anyway, this is what Rue said. We want to make sure that the investigation is complete, and we do not want to ruin the investigation of anything before we're able to speak of it, he said. Adding state and federal agencies are involved in investigations. The city formed the Immigrant Accountability Response Team in response to community outrage following a fatal accident involving a Northwestern school bus hit a minivan driven by an unlicensed Haitian driver. The man crossed in front of the bus that overturned, resulting in the death of an 11-year-old boy and injuries to about 24 children. So this isn't just about Mexicans, right, folks? This is about the onslaught that they're bringing people here, and they're violating the law. They're violating the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, because all invasions are to be repelled. And they're using a UN treaty to say, oh, we have this refugee obligation to bring people here. That is an unconstitutional treaty. That's why we have all of these petitions. We'll get into that in a minute. Back to the article. The driver is currently appealing involuntary manslaughter and fourth-degree felony vehicular homicide convictions. He shouldn't even have his day in court. Folks, if you're not a U.S. citizen, you're not afforded due process. That person, you know, it's one thing if we actually want to, you know, harm this person. It's one thing if we're going to hang the guy, but we're not. They're going to spend millions of dollars housing this guy into a prison, into a facility, a holding facility, to give him a good quality of life so that he can live and enjoy America. Get them out. The Constitution demands they be repelled. Anyway, back to the article. Thousands of Haitians are in Springfield on temporary protected status. Roux said that the Immigrant Accountability Response Team is comprised of a group of city staff members and has focused its investigation into three areas: immigrant employment, housing, and driver instruction. Are you kidding me? They're assimilating these people. Who in the heck is this mayor? Why is he not upholding his constitutional obligation in supporting it and demanding people who do not belong here are repelled? Excuse me. Going back to the article, if they had known what to expect, he said that the city would have taken steps to hire 25 more police officers and 25 firefighters, along with making sure individuals already living here and faithfully paying rent would not be displaced because of the greed of landlords. Remember what I told you? Our housing crisis is being driven, and everybody in the real estate and everybody, all the property holders, are making money because the supply and demand factors are at play. There's a limited supply, and the demand is becoming overwhelming. Back to the article. Okay, so paying rent to displace the greed of the landlords. We would have been ahead of that or tried to combat it. We did not get to do that. It's almost like he's saying, you know, we want to be a good receiving government to help these people become citizens. No. You have an obligation to serve and protect and support the Constitution for the citizens who put you in office. Back to the article. Strides have been made by the response team, which has worked with the Ohio Department of Public Safety and Bureau of Motor Vehicles to develop drivers training programs tailored to address the language needs of Haitian immigrants, and they're calling them immigrants. They're not immigrants. They never applied. They were brought here to undermine you. And they're going to be given citizenship, violating the entire process of the uniform laws of naturalization that the Constitution demands. Sorry, I get carried away when I read this stuff, because you don't want to put a newspaper in my hand. You just want to see me just, you know, flip a switch, or actually just probably keel over from a heart attack. Put a newspaper in my hand. The language of needs of immigrants and driver training to improve public safety. Advances have also led to expanded opportunities for Haitians. Let me finish this paragraph. opportunities for Haitians to participate in English language classes locally. Good. They're paying. They're taking money from the citizens to help teach them how to destroy them in their own language. Isn't that great, folks? This is war. We'll be right back after this. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so what I need to do, because I'm going to be putting this up today, so that by the time you hear this show, I will have this content. I'm going to put this into a PDF, because sometimes stories like this just go away. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the due diligence before I get back into this story. And I'm going to put this up on the Take Action page. And I'm going to go and find good old Mayor Rue's phone number. And we're going to have that on Reclaiming the Republic. And we will give that to you over the air on Feedback Friday. One way or another, I'll try to squeeze it in so that you have the city council, the county commissioners, as well as the mayor of that town and the sheriff's phone number, because it seems to me there is a complete breakdown and failure by the entire government and that county. I think it's Clark County. I'm not sure, because they've mentioned Clark County in the article or intertwined with it. So whatever, I'm going to give you this information. I want people to absolutely raise the roof and asking, what kind of oath did they take? If they do not understand that every elected person in the United States is required by the supreme law of the land to take an oath to support this Constitution, not the annotated, the original Constitution. And they didn't know that there's an original Constitution and then some bogus Constitution. And if they're taking bonds, what have you, if they took an oath to support that Constitution, they are obligated to get those refugees out of that county and out of that state. And as a matter of fact, I don't care what it takes anymore, folks. We need to put these people either on an airplane and fly them out, because the federal government is not going to do it. They're trying to claim this bogus protected status. Show me in the Constitution where we gave the federal government the ability to create a protected status for a non-citizen residing in the United States. They do not have that authority. Remember, the states actually had the authority to the importations of people. And the federal government took over the importation and immigration responsibility, but there was no power granted to them to actually be able to use it as a weapon. The entire process had been immigration. There's never been a point in time where we gave them the ability to bring in blocks of people or allow an invasion. As a matter of fact, the Constitution says contrary. You cannot have an invasion. They are obligated to repel the invasion. So again, this is going to be on the Take Action page. I will probably put it right there towards the top, if not at the top. We want to make it easy for you so that you don't have to scroll, because I understand we've got a lot of content. We've got a lot of stuff to go through. But like I said, this is a PDF file of this newspaper that I'm reading to you. I'm not trying to take credit for this ad or for this newspaper. As a matter of fact, who wrote the newspaper, this article? Let me find out. It's right here. The author, Vicki Forrest. And it seems like Vicki Forrest might be pulling her punches. I'm not sure, because it seems like she's, you know, kind of enjoying the fact that there's this problem and she gets to report on it. And I've noticed that she has not said once the constitutionality of any of these things. She's not challenging. How is this happening? Does that make sense? I mean, we do know that the leftists have taken over and have employed nothing but what we would call people in support of the destruction of America. We're under an insurrection. The party is a part of the insurrection process. And so, let me get back to the article. Rue again clarified, Springfield is not a sanctuary city in response to another inquiry. While city officials adopted a resolution 10 years ago declaring Springfield a, quote, welcoming city, close quote, Rue said, quote, that does not mean we are actively bringing immigrants into our community that can't handle the influx of folks. Now, immigrants, let's talk about immigrants. Immigrants are people that are actually have a legitimate green card that initiated the process by either one, coming to a port of entry and applying to be an immigrant and entering into America as an immigrant. People that run across the border and say, okay, well, thou, you know, now I'm going to become a citizen and obtain protected status, and they shift them into an immigrant status, that is not an immigrant. Again, an immigrant is a person who initiated the legal process first. Everybody else are invaders. And our nation, our federal government, and those beautiful communist globalists who are looking to destroy us have put out the notification, please come, do whatever you need to do to get here, because once you're here, we're going to process you so that we can be destroyed. Because, folks, as we've noticed in the last decade, just go, before I get back to the article, go look at the census information from 2010 to 2020 and look at how many states obtained new, what we'll call new representation, because California lost representation because so many people moved out of California because it was getting ridiculous with the takeover, with the the invasion of illegals. And so those citizens moved, and many people are still kind of hiding because they haven't gotten the word that we're not abiding by the laws and that the government is doing everything they can to count them as citizens, giving them all the citizens' protections and making them citizens without following the law. They are literally violating the essence, the spirit, and the letter of the law in creating this condition. And so, before I get back to the article, remember what I said. I talked about this in 2023, January article. It's a constitutional minute I sent out to state legislators. And I showed them how, and this is one of the warfare tactics, that it's not about just operating the invasion. They are commanding. They're putting commandos into your small towns, and they are going to overrun you, and they're going to use these unconstitutional laws like protected status where they can't do that. They cannot usurp powers not delegated. Their responsibility is to stop and repel the invasion. Notice the word repel. Repel does not mean, you know, put into an apartment and work through to find out, you know, are they really, you know, what they call, what is it, sanctuary, not sanctuary, this political status of being a, not a dissident, but that they're under the threat. There's a word for it. And anyway, I will think about that. I'll ponder that. But let me dive back into this article, because this is where we actually, in going through what was said, helps you place context to this. So Rue again clarified that Springfield is not a sanctuary city in response to another inquiry. While city officials adopted a resolution 10 years ago, I already covered that. Concerns about the public safety have also been the focus of the city efforts as they have tried to get the attention of state and federal governments who have no programs or funding in place to help. Yeah, they don't care. Just bend over and kiss your butt goodbye, because we're underrun. They're in the final throes of destroying America. That's the globalist plan here. Rue criticized the federal government for permitting expanded immigration while providing no... That's not expanding. Immigration, again, is a very specific legal process. They may have tried to redefine it, but it is not immigration. It is not legitimate immigration. Immigration is initiated by the non-citizen who wants to become a citizen. They have to apply to the federal government to say, we want to come here. The federal government was never allocated the power to bring in a block of people or to say, hey, just because you live south of us, you can come in and no problem. Why is it? Why is it that we don't have a bunch of Canadians overrunning us on the north border? Why is it that, you know, they don't allow them to just charge over that border and then to put them into hotels? Why isn't Canada, anyway, when I get excited, this is what happens. So let me calm down a little bit. Why is it that Canada isn't trying to overrun our borders but just by coming straight across and demanding that they have access and they get the same things that is being handed out to these combatants that are coming here? Why is this? Why is it that there's no legal process occurring in Canada to sue the federal government of the United States, not the legitimate government, but the federal government of the United States, and actually challenge them on why do they have a different policy for the northern border than they do for the southern border? Why is it that no ship can just come and bring a whole bunch of people from Europe and be allowed to just basically dump people here like they're doing from China and other places? Why? Folks, there's a reason why, and I'm telling you, the people that are coming here, they're not your friends. There may be some people that are good people that are coming with them, but there are leaders, there are antagonists, there are those types of people that are being brought in that have already been basically briefed on what to do and how to do it. And this is, we saw this in some of the literature that they were actually providing in Central and Latin America. They were actually telling them what to say and how to get past, you know, the border patrol, so that they would have, because they created this facade of laws instead of upholding the laws. They created these openings so that people could come in for this protected status. And it's not immigrant status. It's not refugee status. It is like a political dissident. But and I'm sure Paul Venable or somebody will send me a text, because I'm struggling here. It is bottom line, it is not a legitimate reason to bring people here. It may be nice and it may be noble. If the federal government is going to do something that is not delegated in the Constitution, we have to amend the Constitution for them to be able to do it. Folks, I'm going to get back to this article, then we're going to bring up the 11th and 12th Amendment. So, quote, he says, we have taken this to our congressman. We should have the right of safety forces to take care of everyone who is here. If we have 12 to 15,000 more people than we have budgeted for care for, we're in trouble, the mayor said. Another conversation, it's almost like we're to basically host people and just we need money to be able to do it. Are you kidding me? Another conversation at the commission session centered on housing affordability and the housing shortfall that has been driving up rent. You want to see the landlords and the Realtor Association and the Builders Associations panic? Bring in a bunch of buses with the militia, with your county militia, and start loading these people to rappel them out. And watch these. Hold on here. We're making money off of this. There are people in America that have no idea they're operating as enemies. They think that this is all good for them because it is good for them. It's putting money in their pocket. And they have no idea that they are complicit in the destruction of America. Another conversation with the commission session centered on affordable housing resulting in, affordable housing and the housing shortfalls have been driving up rent, often resulting in the eviction of long-time rent tenants who can no longer afford to stay in their homes. In other words, now they want to put in these progressive laws like rent control and those types of things so that they can stay in their homes. Folks, they're doing this deliberately. There's no doubt in my mind this is the fundamental warfare tactics that they're deploying. City officials, this is the last few paragraphs, city officials shared the frustration expressed by residents about the increasing ownership of housing by limited liability corporations from outside the community. I'm going to read that again. City officials shared the frustration expressed by residents about the increasing ownership of housing by limited liability. These are NGOs, folks. These are literally NGOs, non-government organizations. They were the ones that knew. And as a matter of fact, I'm telling you, here in Washington State, they're taking over all of the what we call apartments and homes and duplexes. They're buying up all that land. Why? So that they can displace you, so that they can put foreigners into those. It's all rent controlled, by the way. And as a matter of fact, the rent is based upon their income. And as a matter of fact, if you're making too much income, then they're going to kick you out. I know this because I was looking for an apartment for my wife because she was looking at taking a job. And she was looking at taking a job where, you know, she'd be making a certain amount of money. And I looked at all these different companies and they said, oh, well, the rent is based on how much money you make, how much money. And basically, they gave me a rent that was greater than our mortgage for a one-bedroom apartment. And I said, hold on here. How can you get away with doing that? And she says, well, we're designed for low-income residents. And I go, oh, so people that make no money, you know, then they actually get the precedence. Well, yeah, kind of, yeah. Uh-huh. Folks, this is socialism. They've already been implementing it. And all of these types of laws and this type of housing practice that's being put into place by your state legislature, they're doing this and you have no idea. They're going to come in and they're going to displace you and they're going to create a crisis everywhere. You know, we have only 300 million, actually, we've talked about this, and I think we have as a nation, maybe 250 million to maybe 280, somewhere in there, real legitimate U.S. citizens. Maybe 250, I'm going to say 250, but regardless, let's find out what that real number is, because we know it's 330 million and it's growing quickly and it's being put on steroids. There's enough people in the world that they can easily import them here to where they all get the free housing and they're going to start taking our housing from us. If you can't afford your mortgage, if you're not locked into a mortgage, and what's going to happen, what this is going to do, They're inflating our currency, and as your mortgage may be locked, your other costs of food and other needs and so forth, there is a financial collapse that is coming that you can't even fathom. And I started this show off with this phrase, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, got another name here, two more paragraphs to read. Commissioner Bridget Houston indicated her recent exploration of the issue revealed one of five property purchases in the county or country is now by an LLC for investment purposes. According to Rue, the Clark County Combined Health District will provide information and statistics from a new report about the influx of immigrants to the community at a work session preceding the next Springfield City Commission meeting on July 16th, which is this Tuesday. So, tomorrow. So, as we move forward, folks, tomorrow morning, if you don't have anything to do or you can get some time, go pick up your phone and start contacting the commissioners at the county, contact that mayor, just make a few phone calls to the people in charge. And as a matter of fact, folks, we have petitions. You're a U.S. citizen, and you can demand any public servant who is obligated to take an oath to that Constitution, the original Constitution. They're all obligated. So you, as a citizen from California, you as a citizen from whatever state you reside in, have a right to petition these public servants in Springfield, Ohio, and challenge them on failing to live up to their oath of office and demand that they repel this invasion, demand that they nullify or demand that the calling out of these federal treaties and these laws that they're imposing upon them are unconstitutional. We have plenty of treaties or plenty of petitions that you can start using. But even if you can't get to the county or to the town, if we start raising the roof in places like this, and we start getting grassroots people throughout the United States to start actually using First Amendment petitions and exercising your right as a citizen to hold public servants to their oath and demand that they be removed immediately. Folks, not by the court, but by a grand jury of the people. Your county commissioners, your city, whomever, get your representatives, not the prosecuting attorney, not the court. This is a citizen grand jury that your county commissioners have the authority to convene. Now, they may not have the budget. That's what they'll say. Well, we don't have the budget. You don't need to have a compensatory jury. People would volunteer to step in to get things right. And I'm telling you, folks, all we need are good American citizens willing to roll up their sleeves and say, I'll be on that committee. I will take my oath to be a part of this grand, and actually they call it a grand jury. I think we need to call it because it's going to be large bodied. In other words, we're talking about probably when you look at your county, look how many precincts you have. You should have one person from that precinct as sitting on that because we need to have representation throughout the county. And by doing it by precinct, it means that we divide it up equally, so that the full county is being represented. And then everybody being sworn in, I'm telling you, this is how simple it is. Everybody gets sworn in that they must support the Constitution. The first thing that committee has to do is they have to recognize that the only legitimate Constitution is the original Constitution and its text. The annotated Constitution and any other version of Constitutions out there that they want to bring up, only the original text and the ratification debates are the only legitimate definitions or terms. In other words, unless it has been done by the states, then that's it. the Constitution and its ratified amendments. And I tell people this all the time. We do not have a problem. The 17th and 16th Amendments, all of those amendments, the progressives and those amendments that have been snuck in, they're not the problem. They will not stop us from getting what we need done. All we need to do is exercise our rights as citizens and demand our public servants uphold their oath or be removed. Now, I'm going to tell you that every one of these people in Ohio are going to be flabbergasted. If you call Springfield, they will be overwhelmed. If you call Clark County commissioners and so forth, they will be overwhelmed. But you need to speak clearly and concisely that they are obligated to fulfill their oath to that Constitution, to the original Constitution. And if they do so, they can get all of these illegal invaders repelled. The federal government has no authority whatsoever of creating protected status, giving them an elevated status above you, the citizen, because you are the sovereigns, not these protected beings, because they're actually their weapon. That's why they're protecting them. They're doing this to destroy us. And this is so sad. It's so sad that we're seeing this in this day. All I can say is I just expect as things get worse and as yours truly and everybody else that listens and starts acting upon this, you know, they're going to start coming after us. That's the fact, because you can't get away with criticizing those who have invested so much to destroy us. They've spent trillions of dollars slowly manipulating us into these positions. The whole world is basically on this fulcrum to fall one way or the other. And they've got the trillions of dollars that they have on that fulcrum to basically move us in one very direction, a specific direction of global communism, global control. And America, I've been telling you, America has been subsidizing and funding this the whole time. And people like Bill Gates, he ought to be stripped. We ought to take all... When you look at the Tory Acts, we have precedents of actually seizing all the assets, seizing everything for these people that have been doing this in America and actually supporting the undermining of America, actually supporting the insurrection against the Constitution. That's all what Section 3 is all about. And every U.S. citizen, just remember, every citizen of the colonies had an obligation to support what the people of the colony created in this Continental Congress and that government. And they chose to side with the loyalists to basically maintain British control. And all of those Tories were kicked out of the United States. The Tory Acts is listed right there up there with the Red State Pod Radio podcast page. We're going to actually create all the source document page so you'll actually see all of those documents, and we'll organize it that way. But for right now, we give you the proof. You read it for yourself. You go do the research. Do the due diligence. Get your butt active and get your butt involved. Use petitions and demand your right as a citizen be protected and that your servants do their job. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.